Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the New Media Show. And I'm running solo today. Rob is off and about. I think he's driving from L.A. to Seattle. I think that's what he's got going on today. So just wanted to do a show this morning. When Rob and I talked about last week, we knew that PowerPress 6.0 was going to be released this week. And in the nick of time, Angelo put the midnight hours in, and PowerPress 6 is out and available. But I want to welcome Angelo Mandato, the CIO of RawVoice, to the New Media Show. Good morning, Angelo. And I know you're doing a little Christmas cheer this morning, running around helping Brian move, and you're actually doing this with your cell phone. That's a pretty good picture for a cell phone, all things considered.
Yeah, it's a Moto X Gen 2, and in a pinch, I looked around the house that I'm in right now, and I'm like, I'll put it on a bookshelf, so I'm standing here right now.
So that's thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll get into the PowerPress discussion here in just a minute. But I want to remind everyone that we're working with the new Media Expo. And with this show, basically, we're going to be having some folks on from the New Media Expo in future episodes. But, the show that's going to be happening in conjunction with NAB in April is one that you are not going to want to miss. Angela and I have been to every New Media Expo, and the show has went through, some transitions over the years, but I think they're really going to knock it out this year. Are you excited about this year's New Media Expo, Angelo?
Oh yeah, mainly because it's part of NAB. And if we go back, the first one was in 2005. This makes it what, the 11th?
I think so. It might be the 10th as well. 10th or 11th? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's a great thing to get past that 10 mark, because it's kind of shows how stable the industry is now,
and it's gonna and not only that, being invited to Rick and his team and be invited to be co-located with NAB and all that traffic and all that stuff to see, 4-day show. It's gonna be a great event, lots of great sessions on podcasting. You're gonna get to meet podcasters that and you talk to on Facebook and Google and every other place that podcasters hang out with. So it's kind of a big family reunion as well. And I'm just absolutely jazzed about going to the event, and look forward to seeing all of you as listeners. Rob and I are going to be doing a super session with this show. And of course, the podcast award ceremony will be there, which the New Media Expo now owns. So you definitely want to get your tickets. All you got to do is go to nmxlive.com and to save some money, use the promo code New Media when you check out. Use the promo code. That'll lock in the best discount that we have available. Again, nmxlive.com. This show is also starting to be embedded over on their website. So if you're watching over there, you can come back over here to our site and check out all the hosts all the folks we've talked to over the years at newmediashow.com. But again, to register for New Media Expo, so we don't get those confused, nmxlive.com is the place to go. So anyway, did you get some sleep last night, Angelo, after getting PowerPress 6 out just, I don't know, what was it, midnight East Coast time or something like that?
Not much. and yesterday was an interesting balance between writing skills and parenting, because at 5 o'clock came around and I just got done working on the latest version of the README for the plugin, and I didn't want to release it and then go pick up the kids. So I had to first pick up the kids and then, do the regular dad parenting thing. And then when the kids got to bed, then bam, I released PowerPress.
So, this thing's been as much as I hate to say it, it's been a long time coming, but it's, I was reading through the changelog, and the changelog really has everything. And that changelog, of course, is you can read that over on the WordPress plugins, where they're all the plugins for WordPress. And the changelog just, let me just show it to the audience. It just, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And this thing's almost like a brand new, you know, plug-in, but it's, you know, it's really not. But it's been enhanced, you know, really incredibly. So, you know, I think what we'll do today, I want to talk just a little bit about the fundamentals of why we did some of the things we did. And we're going to go into these things first. But one of the things we really focused on was the subscribe, the dedicated subscribe page. And, you know, we had talked about this for a couple of years and had been on the wish list. What was kind of the tipping point you think that made us go and put, you know, the ability for a podcaster with really one click of a button to create a subscribe page?
Well, everybody knows that you can easily provide the subscribe link for iTunes. The challenge, though, is that, you know, podcasting goes beyond just iTunes now. In particular, and we'll probably have a press release on this, there's real opportunity to have your podcast consumed on Android devices. So what really drove this was to A, get people to subscribe to your podcast, B, get the people that think that to subscribe they have to have an iPhone or use a Mac product that they don't. There's detailed instructions on what to do with every common platform. And C, you know, we're trying to help increase subscription numbers and download numbers. And this is pretty much the spearhead that should help do that.
You know, and I had put something on Facebook earlier today that, you know, 10 on any given day, at most 10% of the worldwide listening audience to podcasts are only Android users. The rest are subdivided into web browsers, iOS devices, and then, you know, 100 plus other devices that get a few percentage points or decimal points of a listener share. And really, the Android community as a whole is not listening. And if we think about that from a growth potential and what we have and what we know, and actually you and I have been working on some data for the Interactive Advertising Bureau here recently, which we'll probably have some announcements later on as well about, you know, global audience size. There's an incredible potential here to, well, triple the size of the podcasting space relatively easy if we just get the podcasters on board to start making sure they make their audience know that Android's an option. It's easy to subscribe.
Right. Yeah. It's going to make a big difference. You know, so many of us now have Android phones rather than iPhones. Like, for example, I have an Android phone, but I still have an iOS tablet.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't bring my tablet today. I brought my phone. I still want my podcast.
Yeah. So, and you're on an Android right now. You're using a Android phone right now on this call. So
exactly. Yeah.
So I guess in let's show the audience just a little bit here. And for those of you that are listening, this today is going to be really critical that you kind of watch, because we're going to walk into the page. I just want to show you what the default subscribe page looks like. And I should just walk through the, just make people understand, if you're a PowerPress user, you're going to be able to find this by going to PowerPress. Let me see if I can find the settings page. Here we are. Go to settings, go to media appearance, scroll down the page, and you're going to find a place below there where it says subscribe page new. And I'll see if I can highlight that. And if you don't have a subscribe page already, mine is gone because I've already created mine. There's going to be a button there that says just basically click to create a subscribe page. And you're going to click that, and we're going to pre-populate the page and create a page on your website for you that basically has all the text, all the subscribe links, the play, everything you need to get someone to subscribe to your show and have a subscribe page on your website. Now, this is what it looks like.
Right.
And
now, Todd,
go ahead.
You might want to point out that when we put this together, it's not just a subscribe page.
Right.
We're tying in the episodes with a more subscribe options link to this page, and also a sidebar widget that has more subscribe options that ties into this page. So there's three things we're trying to do. One is to simplify your regular episodes. So when people see the post, they don't see a million subscribe. Hey, subscribe this, download this app, get, you know, this app or whatever. Instead, we're saying here's the iTunes link, here's the RSS link, and then you want more options? Then please click more. We'll give you more.
Yeah. So
and then then we give you that subscribe page.
Yeah, and let me go to the main site just so you guys see this, so you understand. So when you're on your main page, the widget, which can be added to the sidebar again, as Angelo's referring to, it says iTunes via RSS or more. If they click,
I'm also referring to the links underneath the player too.
Oh yeah. So there's down here under the actual player, they're subscribed via iTunes, RSS, and more subscription options. So if I click more subscription options or more subscription options on the sidebar, I basically get taken to the same page. And well, that was Robot Underpants. So let me go back. So this one is for Geek News Central. So it's right, tied to the right show. So that brings that right in. And so what we've got here is basically at the top of the page, it says, by subscribing to this podcast, you automatically receive the latest episodes downloaded to your computer portable device. Select the subscription method below that best fits your lifestyle. So we've got iTunes. We've got the RSS. We've got this, you know, the Beyond Pod for Android and Podcast Republic for Android. So why did we pick those two apps?
Those two apps have been available on the they call it the Play Store for Android for a few years now, and they're pretty mature and they're stable. And more importantly, they're freeware. They don't cost any money to install. And they don't have intrusive advertising either inserted in the media or added within the interface.
So we did give other apps, I'm wrong button here. We did give other app developers an opportunity to be here, but what was the response?
Believe it or not, there's some developers we sent emails to and never got any response. So it's kind of weird. You'd think they'd be interested in being in this subscribe. And then there were others that we had to write off right away. I don't know if you're okay with me dropping company
sure.
names.
Well, but, you know, basically, we'll tell the reason why, not who.
Right. Well, there's one app that it would have been great, but the problem is that they take the first download your media and then add advertising to it and then restream it in their app. And, you know, not a lot of podcasters like that, and there's actually some that have requested to have their podcast removed from this directory and app. And last thing we wanted to do was promote a service that then puts advertising in your content, and then you inadvertently find out about it years later or months later. So, you know, when we put links in the widget that we're providing, it will, you know, they're not doing
right
things
they're not doing
to your
that.
Media.
Yeah. So because I have both an audio and video program, I added, there's a short code, and if you're not technical, it's just a little piece of code with some enclosed in a bracket that basically tells WordPress to place something on a page. And because I have both an audio and video version, I've got two widgets, or basically two subscribe sections on my site, that allows people to either subscribe to the audio or the video. Now, the majority of podcasters will just have one. Now, mine, if this was by default, it would have only loaded just the primary audio version. You wouldn't have seen this second box. But because I added the actual short code, I'm actually able to have it so they can subscribe to either one. Down below, we've got some additional information, and let's talk just a little bit about that.
Right. So, well, and here's the thing. This page is literally a template that we provide you, and we encourage you to then go in and edit it in your own words if you like. And actually, going back to that example where we talked about that service that adds advertising into the content.
Right.
If you specifically still like to promote that service, you know, edit that page, the subscribe page, and put in their short codes or their subscribe widgets. So, you know, you can edit all that content and, you know, add instructions to it as you need. But if you scroll down near the bottom, we had our copywriter go through and write the instructions for how to subscribe with the Mac or PC, the iPhone, iPads, and iPods, and then also Android and Amazon Fire devices.
So basically giving them all the information that really they need. And we basically, again, we've used a professional copywriter to go through and put this language in the most simplest terms so people can basically get subscribed. Now, I've added some things to the bottom of the page that doesn't come in the normal template. And matter of fact, there's a little bit of a bug, and you haven't seen that, Angelo, but we've got something else that's pretty cool. There's supposed to be one image in the middle of the page. It may be something to do with my template, so it might be something with me, but we basically got the ability now to bring in the actual, talk about this iTunes generated logo. Or
right. Well, we worked with Apple on getting the correct links for the iTunes one to click subscribe. Specifically, they wanted some query string parameters included with the link to the iTunes subscribe page. And in the process of doing that, we also talked to them and they said, hey, we're working on this banner, which, you know, here's the code. And so we then also incorporated that as an option. So the banner that you're seeing right now is actually hosted and provided by Apple for the podcast directory. It's part of their affiliate link program, actually.
So that's just really enabled, again, by another short code that's in the documentation. They can drop this in the website, and it'll work. There's a few places it won't work, and I want to be very clear about that when we get a little further deep in, so people understand exactly where these short codes work and where they don't. And another thing I added to the bottom of the page is our new playlist player, and this also has some restrictions on where it actually has to reside. So, you know, WordPress came out with this playlist player, a couple minor reversions ago, but you had to host all the media on your website. It was really nothing you could do to make it easy to make a playlist through basically what you do with your podcast. But we made it so it actually populates with data from your podcast feed. Am I correct on saying that?
It uses what's on in your database of your WordPress site. So it's populating based on your syndication on WordPress. It's not pulling directly from your podcast feed, but it should be an exact copy of your podcast feed.
Yeah. So it's
created the same way that your podcast feed is created in PowerPress.
So when I set that up, I basically set up so that it shows only the last 10 episodes. Again, I could have a short code for the video, audio, different channels, if you're category casting, all those ways to display a specific playlist. So this is something people can put on their website as well as a way to kind of maybe boost that on-page click and say, yeah, hey, here's a whole bunch of episodes. Oh, wow, here's a title, here's something. Wow, and November 18th, he talked about Murphy's Law. Let's listen to that program. Or so anyway, that is kind of what you've done there from a playlist standpoint. But this is by far not everything, but these are two of the really great features that I like that you've added. So let me go over to the PowerPress podcast webpage. Mm-hmm. And let me back up before we get, because I brought something up that we should talk about. Where can you use, okay, for example, this widget down here, not a widget, this short code for iTunes.
Right.
I tried placing that actually in a widget, a text box widget. That won't work, will it?
Right. WordPress short codes work specifically in posts and pages. If you want them to work, if you want them to work in a sidebar, you need to make sure that it calls the do shortcode function. So you can add it to your theme's template, but you can't natively add it using the widgets feature.
Because I could see where that iTunes box would be cool to have maybe in a sidebar. So it is possible to put it in the sidebar, but it's going to take a little bit of manipulation with your theme to do that.
Right. But more importantly, unfortunately, the iTunes widget has a specific width set. So it's not responsive. So if your sidebar is 200 pixels wide or it's 500, it's always going to be that 380 pixels wide.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so that's the challenge with that.
So if you have a fixed page design, which most people don't anymore, most people have a responsive design website. And right. And if you guys are like, what the heck is he talking about? Basically, no matter what size the screen resolution is, the site kind of adjusts for the resolution that you have on your screen.
And you definitely want that kind of website for podcasting, because you don't know what screen size that someone has when they come visit your website.
Right.
So if your site is responsive, it adjusts for it. And typically, a responsive site will have what they call a hamburger. It's basically a menu of three horizontal lines, and that's what you click to then navigate. It's becoming pretty much a standard. So, which actually, that's a good lead into more about the subscribe page and why it looks the way it does.
Okay, go ahead.
So, if you saw the buttons, they have a specific height to them.
Yeah,
and they're, you know, they're square. That is on purpose. It's not because, you know, we're trying for some new design aspect or something. Those are touchable with your finger on certain devices. The iOS requires, I think, the height to be 44 for a button. And Android devices, if Google recommends that these buttons have a height of 48 pixels. So we decided to shoot for that higher, you can always be bigger rather than smaller kind of attitude. So
right.
We made our buttons 48 pixels high. Another thing too is those graphics that you see on the left of in each icon or each button.
Yep.
Those images are using special CSS and loading a high res version when the device is a high resolution screen, such as the iOS Retina screens.
So basically, it doesn't. I've seen sometimes you load something up in a Retina screen and it looks blurry. So these, basically, for a better word, the graphics within the actual buttons themselves won't get fuzzy in the in a Retina screen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I follow you there. So one thing that I know is going to come up as a question, and some people are going to want to change the colors of these subscribe to podcast buttons. Are you made it available so they can change the colors of those?
Yes, they can be styled with CSS. You know, later on, we'll see how popular these get. We might even add options in as far as like settings to style them. But for now, you can do it with CSS. So theme developers, you know, you're welcome to grab it, change the button colors. You can even change the sprite if you really wanted to. The sprite is the image that makes up those icons.
All right, cool. So basically, Brian went through and picked the colors. Brian's our creative guy. And matter of fact, the first time he picked the RSS orange, I told him, I said, Brian, that's not RSS orange. And I made him go back and change it. So well, that's good that they can at least have the option of changing the colors if they want, which is good. All right, let me go over to the PowerPress Podcast website. And, of course, this PowerPressPodcast.com. And we've got really all the features here that really is in the stack. And, of course, we highlight some of the stuff we've already talked about with the subscribe tools, with the subscribe page and shortcode embed, the subscribe sidebar widget, the subscribe links underneath the player. Right. And one thing that I will just admit, even on my theme, I had a, I was using I use a Genesis theme with a, basically I take the Genesis theme and I have a modified version of the Genesis theme on my website, and in the spacing on mine was between the play button and the subscribe was too wide. And I actually went in and you helped me with the with CSS actually narrow the gap in between that. Now, so people are going to have to look at their websites and see, you know, it's basically dealing with line spacing. And if the line spacing is too great, you may have a little bigger separation than what you want there. But that can be tightened up by basically putting in some stuff in CSS to override the default theme settings and squeeze that down. I'm almost positive we're probably going to get some support tickets on that. But if you're using the Genesis theme and you're having that problem, email me at todd@newmediashow.com and I'll be happy to provide you the CSS code I use to override the default theme on the Genesis theme. So we've got that kind of talked about. We've talked about the official iTunes subscribe banner. Let's talk next about SEO. This we could probably spend an hour on. And I know that Daniel Lewis has done an SEO episode recently. I think he's actually got that up as a premium version now. But let's talk about the podcasting SEO settings that's new in PowerPress.
Right. And maybe I should disclose that this is not web SEO. This is specifically for the podcasting. So for example, if you're using Yoast WordPress SEO plugin, you still need to continue using it for your website SEO. If you're even using his premium video SEO plugin, he's doing SEO for the video as far as getting it discovered on YouTube and stuff.
Right.
What we're providing bridges that gap and helps you then get discovered still with Google and other search engines, but also on iTunes. So maybe I should start from the bottom up.
Sure.
So at the bottom there, actually the second one, or the second one and the third one up, it's those audio and video.
Yep. Audio objects, video objects.
Right. That helps with your search engine SEO in that when Google sees those meta tags, they know, hey, when we're doing a search and someone's looking for audio or video, we can show this meta information in addition to the information that's just on the page. Now I guess we can kind of go. Well, I'll let you steer where you want me to.
Let's talk off the bottom. There's just a set all that says iTunes SEO guidance, and it says enable and highlight mm-hmm. features that help with iTunes SEO. So what does that just do by default if they don't do anything else?
Right. If they select that, if a podcaster selects that option, and then obviously click save, and then they go in to edit a new blog post.
Yep.
When they go to the media episode field, there'll be additional fields, specifically the iTunes subtitle and the iTunes author fields, and you'll be given tips on what to enter in those fields. For just a quick explanation, as far as your search on iTunes, only the title, the blog post title, and the author fields are being indexed with Google's or iTunes search. So a good tip that we give when we do consults with our clients is to modify the iTunes author field for every episode. So Todd, when you interview someone like me, you would put in your name and my name. That way, if someone searches iTunes for my name, they'll stumble upon your episode that talks about that has me on as a guest.
So just to be clear here, and I don't think everyone knows this, the iTunes title and the author field are the only things that are indexed in the iTunes directory.
Right. And I should clarify, it's not just the iTunes title, it's the blog post episode title.
All right.
And so if you go back to that screen, I'll also point out
sure.
that one of the other things that we include here is another field where you can override what your blog post title is to what appears as your title and word and in the actual iTunes. So in other words, you can have a title that appears on your web pages and a separate title that appears in your feed. And what appears in your feed is what actually appears in iTunes. And that's quite powerful.
Yeah, and it's actually powerful for two reasons. Number one, you're getting the beauty of being found by Google by your normal blog title. And number two, you're optimizing how the title is actually listed in iTunes so you can be found in iTunes and still at the same time maintain basically information that you have in your post. So I think it's pretty awesome. So right now I have mindset to go ahead.
I was going to say that's now the best segue to the top option.
Right.
But yeah, explain.
So basically on mine and what I was finding is in using this is I set it up. So specify custom episode titles for podcast feed. I turn that on. And then as a sub option, I used feed episode title replaces post title. So that was default. So, and there's different ways you can do that. You can go feed episode title prefixes post title, feed episode title. Go ahead.
Select those options. You'll see the example below change so you can see what it looks like.
Oh, so down below. Yeah. So in this little area right here, it says, and I'm sure the audience can't see this real good. Just go into, update and look. But okay, so the first selection says custom episode title dash show title. Number two is custom episode title, blog post title, show title. And finally, feed episode is blog post title, custom episode title, and show title. So you can have all of the above, or you can have a sub combination.
Right. And if you uncheck that one option, include the title, then it's just the two combinations. So really there's technically nine combinations.
Yeah. I see what you've done there.
Yeah. So sorry, it's complicated, but there's an advantage to this. So we know when someone searches iTunes, there's two results that come up. The first result is the episodes. Now, if your title of your show is cooking, the cooking show, but each episode is like, today we're making spaghetti, for example, and someone searches the cooking show, they're not going to see those episodes when in the episode search results. So a smart thing to do is not only include the episode title, but then also append the program title. So then when someone searches for the cooking show, they're going to find today we're making spaghetti and then like a dash and then it says the cooking show. So
right.
As far as your program search is concerned, you're good. You're always good. But this is really helping you get discovered when people see that first set of results that come in iTunes with the episodes.
So here what we've really done, folks, is help you with discoverability. And this is going to give you a leg up over other folks that have different types of RSS creation tools to basically beat them in the search engine game in iTunes. And this is really, going to be pretty smart for everyone because that's using PowerPress, because now, we've all done it. We've went into iTunes and you search for your show and you're like, man, these 10 other shows show up. You're like, crap, I didn't want someone to find that with that keyword. I want them to find my episodes. This is going to help you in that battle, especially if the shows that you're competing against don't have this type of optimization in their RSS feed. And at the same time, you don't have to clutter up what's in your blog post title for Google. So you've really optimized for Google by doing a normal blog post title, and you're optimizing for iTunes and potentially the other directories as well, because whoever syndicates this, that data is going to be syndicated into their sites like at blueberry.com and some of the other podcast directories. So it's really going to help you across the board. And I think from my perspective, the SEO stuff is just as exciting as anything else. But I will say the most exciting brand new big feature, and there's a lot more stuff, is the migrate media. And we did this for a little bit of a selfish reason. We were spending a lot of time helping podcasters migrate. They, you know, they said, oh my God, I'm on X hosting, you know, I've got my web hosting account with X company and they're going to shut me down because I've used too much bandwidth and I need to move. And, you know, and say, yeah, we can migrate the media for you, but then you need to go in and update all the episodes and put the new links in. Well, that is painful. And,
I should say that we built a tool many years ago, a find and replace tool that made migration really easily. But the problem is that it's for a guy like me that knows how to program and write regular expressions and stuff like that.
And you can totally screw up your whole site by putting the wrong expressions in, and then it just ends up in this long cleanup mess. So what we basically have done, and no one has this. You've spent a lot of time on this. This thing is incredible. Let me just show you guys this new migration tool. So I had a bunch of media all over the place. I had some videos on a backup server. I had some audio here. Before we started hosting the hosting service with Blueberry, I had stuff, literally everywhere. And I said, this is stupid. This is dumb. Let's get it all moved. And there's some stuff we have in a specific location on purpose. But so what I did, and this is, I just want to show you guys how simple this is and how it works. And once you see it, you're gonna be blown away. So you load the mic. You have to have a hosting account with Blueberry. Number one, this works with our service.
Todd, you can also show the link above in case you don't have our service.
Oh, yeah. So it says don't have a Blueberry hosting account. So what we do is, I'm waiting here, is we show them how easy it is to host with Blueberry. You write your post, you upload, you drag and drop right in your browser, and you hit publish. So post, upload, publish. Uploading media, it's easy as pie. And we've got ability for someone to go ahead and sign up for hosting with us right there. Once they get that set up, they come back here, and if they want to migrate, no matter where their media is, you go select media to migrate. And because my site has like 5,000 different things, it takes a few seconds. So number one, I found 21 file MP3s, 11 M4As, 1,149 MP4s, 408 M4Vs, and some other media. So I found 2,023 total files. Now, I've already initiated this, so it's probably going to laugh at me here, but let's deselect the video files. The video files are a different location for a reason. And I select just the MP3 files for migration. I click request migration. Okay. And waiting. So
you're a special case because you have a few thousand episodes.
So now it says 20 media files were added to the migration queue, one media added. So basically one media file as well. So right now we've just sent a signal over to Blueberry. It says, move these. And we basically kick off a queue and it starts moving them. Now this doesn't happen in 15 seconds. Okay. We're moving the media. So you can start this and, you know, go have dinner, go to work, come back in the next morning or the afternoon, and it basically will give you a status on how many files have been moved right here. 1,113 files have been migrated. That's what we moved on the first test. 330 files have failed, and it will talk about what that really means. And 1,536 files were skipped, and we skipped those on purpose. I can hit refresh, and it'll refresh that update. It'll tell me how many have moved. Another thing we can also do is we can get a list of the requested media that has been done. So let me actually just load that.
Yeah, and while you're loading that, I'll just explain real quick. The reason why media files don't get transferred instantly is that there's an actual process of first downloading it and then uploading it to our content delivery network. And we put logic in place that we do it linearly rather than in batches. And that is so the server that we're pulling the content from is not hit with tons of traffic all at once. I don't know if folks have dealt with Google search doing that, where they'll index your site and they decide to do it in a, rather than linearly doing it, they do it in batches, and your site will come to a crawl because they're just hitting it with too much, too many requests all at once. So, you know, the logic is there. So we're not adding any kind of burden on the system that's already there, specifically because a lot of folks that do switch to our hosting found out the hard way that they can't host all the media on their web server.
So it's actually, let me bring the screen back up. It's generated a list. Of course, I've got to, and remember, folks, I'm a special case. I've been doing this for 10 years. I had media everywhere, and it just shows all the files that were. And again, there's something there, say skip, but we did that on purpose. Yours won't say that, but you can notice that there is, and if I stop, let me just go to the, you know, here, for example, let me go down because most of the stuff we moved was really old. Let me go all the way to the bottom.
I should correct you, Todd. If you're already a hosting customer of Blueberry and say you've been using us for a couple of years, but you still use this, we'll migrate all the old content that's not on Blueberry.
Right.
But if it already is on Blueberry, it'll be marked skip.
Yeah. Okay. So here's one for 2004, my December 31st episode, 2004. It was migrated. It says completed. And up here it says yes. And basically, I have to go back to the top of the page. And that yes means episode was updated. So,
right.
But that was a step that I took after the migration was complete. So if I go back to the main migration page and show that to you guys, once the migration happens, once the files are moved, all you do is you click update your episodes.
Right. And I should point out, Todd, that we designed this so it can happen as many times as you want. So if you did step one, you added some files to migration, and it, let's say our system got halfway through, and you're just chomping at the bit to get this stuff in your website, you can hit step three and update what's already been moved right then and there. And then 2 hours later, when we get the other half, you can do it again and update the other half.
Right. So I moved 1,099 episodes, and basically it was like 12 hours or something to move all those files. And when I hit, and this was the trust, this is what I was worried about, okay? I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to update 1,099 blog post at once. Now, not that I didn't trust Angela, I was a little bit worried. So we recommend, and matter of fact, when you go to this step, we tell you to back up your database. We actually give you a link to a plugin, and actually just let me bring up that page. We tell you, you know, back up your database. This is, you know, this is probably a smart thing to do. And then ba-boom, you basically click, let me show you here. So it says 1,113 migrated files available, 1,099 episodes updated. So I can actually update some more now because we've moved some more. But we recommend using W-DB backup plugin to back up your database before proceeding. And we've got that there. But so I did that. I backed up my database and then I hit update episodes. And holy crap. I mean, it was just like, I thought it would take a while. It was maybe 60 seconds. It was done. And I went and looked at all, I went and did a, you know, a sampling of 50 episodes or so and looked, and it was done. And I was moved.
Well, if you go back to that page too, Todd, we include an option to just double check that the media URL that we're about to switch to is in fact valid. And I wouldn't say just valid, but we actually do a quick get request to it and make sure that it's physically there in the right size and content type.
So you actually make sure that you actually double check to make sure it's on our CDN, that it's be able to be queried before you update the file.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. So,
and that's just a precautionary thing. So people feel very comfortable with the migration.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the migrate. And I'm going to tell you, we've already seen this morning some folks using it. So a lot of times the pain of moving is just daunting to people, and we're making it absolutely simple for people to migrate their media to our service. You know, and here's, and I have to be, you know, very forthright. We spend a lot of time and money maintaining PowerPress. We want you to use our services. And that keeps him employed, payroll, keeps the company moving forward so that we continue to do cool things. So, all right, so let's go back to more self-serving new features. So let's talk about pulling Flash out. Why did we make the big move to remove Flash? Players, well, specifically.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, more and more common, we're seeing even desktop browsers are not including Flash anymore packaged with them. So we were kind of doing a disservice by letting podcasters pick from a Flash player that then doesn't work on mobile, doesn't work on a lot of the browsers like the latest versions of Firefox and Chrome. And the only way they did work is
by
if
default,
you went
by default.
You'd have to go after the fact and install Flash from Adobe's website. Plus, performance-wise, as far as playback, if you use an HTML5 native player to play back these MP3s, M4V videos, for example, it just is it's a much more it's an integrated player, so it becomes a seamless play process where when you load it up in Flash, you can actually feel the memory of the browser just kind of slow your computer down. So for a seamless, you know, seamless audio or video playback, you really should be using HTML5.
And also there was some security concerns too, right, on Flash?
Right. And this isn't the first time. So we dealt with security concerns with the One Pixel Op player last year. And then this year we had the Flow Player Classic, which unfortunately is no longer developed. The new Flow Player is much different. It's a commercial product rather than GPL open source, so we can't include it with PowerPress. And you know, all the other Flash players that we have, the developers have pretty much abandoned them. So, you know, we made a tough decision to just remove them completely. You know, we thought about putting them in a separate plugin and to kind of discourage their use, but you know, I know some people might get upset, but in the long term, we're technically doing you a favor by removing those options. The only one that we kept is the One Pixel Out because it is so popular. But I got some thoughts on that maybe in the spring we'll have a better solution than just Flash for that.
So, you know, and if you're using that One Pixel Out, you know, stop. You know, load your site in your web phone. All right, I mean in your Android or in a, you know, iOS device or BlackBerry or whatever you're using, Windows Phone. Right. People even use BlackBerries anymore. And actually look at the, you know, look at your screen and look at your website in that in those. It's not a good experience. It doesn't work.
No. Well, we added code in
PowerPress. We did.
To deal with that with an HTML5. But a better example is get a clean install of Firefox without Flash. It's the same deal. All you see is a big box right there because it doesn't gracefully degrade to an image with a button you can click, even though it's supposed to.
Yeah, probably the folks using the Flash players didn't even know what we were doing in the browser. We know when you loaded a browser in our website with a Flash player on it, we were actually substituting an HTML5 player for you. We actually swapped it out. You may not even knew that, but there was code in there to say, okay, we know this isn't going to work. Let's put a player in there that the, you know, the person that's loading your web page can actually click play on. So
right.
I'm sure most people didn't even know we did that.
Yeah, and we were doing that to protect you. And we were doing that for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And actually this is a good thing, yanking out the Flash. And when we finally make the decision to pull out the One Pixel Out as well, and we become a HTML5 only player options in PowerPress, we will be able to remove that extra, mobile player that we add now, for when you use the One Pixel Out with just a native player or the Media Element JS player, for example.
We also know
it'll make a lot of people happy.
Another thing too is because we're actively developing and watching things, you know, we knew upcoming changes to WordPress was going to jack players. And we had already put changes in place to make sure that when the release came out, that you guys would have players that would be on your website that worked and weren't obscured and looked weird and the play button be in the wrong place, which some people are dealing with right now. And that's part of our active development of keeping track of changes within the WordPress core so that, you know, stuff doesn't break when WordPress pumps a new version out. And we try to stay ahead of that as much as we can. So I think that, go ahead.
Well, you know, that's a good lead in now to some stuff we did for iTunes.
Sure.
So, you know, we keep an open conversation with the engineers over at Apple and the iTunes directory. And they wanted us to help get our users aware about the new iTunes image requirements.
Right.
So we've known for a couple of years now, since 2012, that they want the images to be 1400 by 1400. Well, now they don't just want it 1400 by 1400, but they also don't want them over... was it 2048 by 2048?
Yeah.
So it's really important now that you don't make it too big, and it is at least 1400 by 1400. And actually, it used to be a recommendation. It's now required to be at least 1400 by 1400 to submit your podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, and actually, we got a ticket this morning from someone saying, hey, iTunes won't take my feed. And he had like a 2190 something image. They basically said, no, you can't submit it. The image is too big. So we told him, just go resize your image and you'll be fine. Resubmit your feed and you'll be good. Of course, Apple did send a message to all podcasters. And they probably, I think I got 20 emails. I think I've got 20 listings over there. They basically are taking their traditional Christmas break. They'll have limited staff between Monday, December 22nd and Monday, January 5th. And new podcast submissions, iTunes Podcast Directory will require some additional time for reviewing and processing. so it could take longer than the typical. Well, they say they only take 4 hours to approve a show.
No. You're reading two different.
New episodes. New episodes.
Yeah.
You know, new episodes during this time may also require additional time, possibly longer than a typical 4 hours to appear. You know, this is a misnomer. I keep telling people that, oh, they only touch your feed once a day. No. It's generally a 4 hour window is pretty standard unless they're having problems with what they've had in the past.
And actually during this, their Christmas break, it's kind of made me wonder, are they doing some of this manually or do they always make sure when they're pulling things that they have engineers to watch in real time?
It is kind of curious, isn't it?
It made me wonder why that frequency would change.
Yeah, it's not like you're turning servers off. The servers are still doing their job, but I wonder if they're screening, and I wonder if they have people screening, which I would find to be incredible if they were, but who knows? Well, anyway, go ahead.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, I bet I know what's happening. They probably do an initial screening, and if they see a copyrighted word, for example, in a title, it might take more than 4 hours before it gets approved, and that might be the situation.
Oh, that's interesting. Also, in this edition, for those of you that are in Brazil, we want to thank Leo for working on the Portuguese translation. He had a monumental... We sent out 3 betas this time, and we added all this stuff. So the majority of PowerPress has now got Portuguese as a native language availability. We're really excited about that. We know there's a huge, huge podcasting community down in Brazil. I think we're the first podcast plugin to have a Portuguese translation in it. But there's a whole bunch of other bug fixes and anything, Angela, you can think of that you want to talk about, but you know, the beta testers really came through. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, if you're a theme developer, or even not, we made improvements with the audio and video player too, which kind of coincides with our players not having these problems that other folks might be with WordPress 4.1 update. You can now set the width of the one Media Element JS audio player, and it now fits full width in our Play a New Window option and also for the embeds. So if you're providing an embed that people can take with them, it's going to use the one pixel out player, audio player, and fit whatever width the person takes the embed and puts it in as far as the page is concerned. And now the video player now has options to set the height and width. And more importantly, you can put nothing in the width field and a specific height. And wherever you put that player in your page, it'll go full width and set to that specific height, which is very useful, especially if you're using a responsive theme, like the last three WordPress themes that were released. And the player will fit whatever screen loads it up. Or as you used to say, Todd, all glass.
That's right. And the embed will actually auto-size to 16 by 9, no matter what width it goes to, if it maximizes, right?
Right. It always stays in that 16 by 9 ratio. But what I meant is, if you put the height of the player at 300 pixels and then throw it into whatever page you do, the width will stretch or contract based on when the browser is being viewed on a desktop or on a phone in portrait mode or landscape mode.
Okay. A question that came in from Daniel in the chat room. He says, question for Angela, what happens when someone was using a Flash player and updates the PowerPress 6?
It's now temporarily replaced with the Media Element JS player. And when you go into the audio and or video player to pick a different player, it'll not have any selected, so you can simply select the one you want and then customize it.
So it basically forces them temporarily to the MediaJS player.
Yeah, which is the default player also packaged in WordPress.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know a lot of people are, you know, they're all gaga over some of the players that companies are providing today. And, you know, we continue to deal with support tickets all the time on some of those individual companies having. Matter of fact, one of the companies now, you can't submit an RSS feed to iTunes. It won't take it because it's broke. They won't be fixing it until sometime after the new year. We don't operate like that. If there's an issue, that something comes up and there's a problem, knock on wood, we haven't run into that type of a, you know, an issue before. We're very responsive, and it's a priority for us. It's not an afterthought. It's not a hobby or a beta.
Right. And, you know, I'll admit there are, we now have two bugs that have come in for PowerPress, and they're both related to people using older versions of PHP. Either Sunday or Monday, we'll release an update 6.0.1 and it'll deal with that stuff. But it's all minor. It's specifically for the audio and video duration detection. So in that time slice that it's not working for you because you're using an old version of PHP, hold tight. Monday or Tuesday, we'll get that, or Sunday, Monday or Tuesday, we'll get that updated for you.
That's got to be discerning, though, because you kind of said to me, wow, I wouldn't imagine anyone would be still using that version of PHP. It shouldn't, you know, if hosts are seeing that, I would, you know, we're pretty lenient on letting people go back quite a ways and using older versions of stuff. Matter of fact, you know, even PowerPress is still working with versions, up to 3.6. Why, you know, what should podcasters tell their host or, you know, hosting companies if they're running into, you know, an error like that when they're using outdated PHP? So they tell them get with the program and update or what?
Well, WordPress themselves haven't bumped the version up for almost 2 years now. So technically we need to be able to support our plugins at least 5.2 and up.
Okay.
And it's really my fault. I wanted to make sure we supported the latest AUG audio formats detection. So I grabbed the latest versions and updated that. And all the testing that we've done, we use various servers to test on. I look back since last night, and lo and behold, we don't have one running PHP 5.2 anymore. Even that, you know, was running Ubuntu 10 is running a newer version of PHP. So it's kind of it's our fault.
Okay.
And we'll get it fixed.
And it doesn't break it. It just doesn't make the verify button work when you're uploaded media, when you're verifying the media. You can still type in the, this is for those with those early version of PHP. They can just type in the, by the time most people listen to this, that'll be, the new version will be out anyway with the fix.
Yeah. So. And it's not even, verify will work. It'll still verify the URL. It'll still get the file size. What it won't be able to pick up is the duration.
So you can just type the duration in the duration box themselves. Yeah, don't forget that, folks. Those boxes you can type in. They're not, we auto-populate and make your life easier, but you can still do it on your own. Well, I've kept you an hour here, 30 minutes longer than I thought we would. So I'm going to get you off. I know you got lots to do today, Angelo. So any other things you can think of before we bounce out, before I let you go?
Yeah, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I'm excited to hear more ideas from everybody after we kind of throw this out there. I'm sure we're going to get some good ideas for how to maybe improve the subscribe widget, buttons. We want to hear it. So what are your thoughts? Where do you want to see things go?
You know, that whole subscribe thing, I've always been absolutely drove crazy when I go to a podcaster's website and they don't make it easy to subscribe. And I think, my God, you've got a podcast and you're trying to get people to subscribe to it. It should be the first thing people see on the website. And, we've made that easy to do. You know, we've dropped this on PowerPress. On the PowerPress podcast website. You know, I updated all my sites last night and, you know, right there, it can't be, it's just clear as day. You know, same thing on my site, and right there, boom, you know, and if that doesn't help drive subscription numbers, nothing is going to. Sometimes stuff is hid and people just ignore it. But, you know, I like the ability of it being a little bit in your face when it comes, because that's the goal, right? Is to add subscribers and get it automatically, not to, you know, we want to make it easy for everyone to consume and build the podcasting community. Okay.
Right.
Hey, have a great day. Have fun moving Brian into his new abode. And if anyone has questions for Angelo, it's best to go through our Blueberry forum at forum.blueberry.com or send an email to support. You can email him directly at cio@rawvoice.com. But if it's a support question, please use our normal support channels, because we have people that are besides Angelo to help you. And that's the important thing.
There's folks to help you when I'm moving, Brian.
Right. And even I get in on the support stuff sometimes, which is dangerous. But everyone, thanks. Of course, I'm going to hang out here for a few minutes after Angelo goes. So if you want to hang out here, you can. We're going to talk about a few things. But Angelo, take care. Thanks for being on.
All right. It's been fun.
All right, Angelo. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Not bad for a cell phone. Audio is better on his cell phone than most people's, you know, most people's regular, he's using a hands-free too. So it's just like, wow. You know, I'm like, I just cut him off. He's like, you're going to talk about this. I'm staying. I got to push the right button here. Hang on a second. There we go. All right. Well, that should give you everything you need to know. There's more stuff. You know, there's more changes to PowerPress and bug fixes. And I want to thank everyone, all the beta testers that provided feedback. Angelo's credited, folks, where credit is due in the change log on the WordPress website. But I think what we're, you know, I've got a lot more stuff on the list for us to do. You know, someone had told me one time, well, let's just copy the, one of these real popular players out there. I'm like, well, we really can't just copy it. There's a little bit of thing called copyright. And so we had, you know, I know there's a lot of options out there, but the main thing that we want people to really be thinking about, the goal is to get them subscribed on their mobile device. You know, you want them to take you with them. You don't want them to have to be sitting in front of a computer screen to watch. We've seen that number plummeting. You know, the number of people that are watching on the web is going down. The mobile is going up. And so, you know, the convergence has already happened. There's more people watching, you know, with their device than there is on the web. So while the web is important, the goal is to get people subscribed to your show on whatever device they have. We're going to have some more stuff to talk about soon about Android and what we're going to do to really work to get the Android community moving. There's, and, you know, we had actually sent out, and I'm going to be frank, some of the Android developers need to listen and actually take some advice. We've gave some suggestions, some very good suggestions to make it easier for Android listeners to be able to subscribe to shows. And most of the Android plugin developers are not listening. And they, and I don't know why they want to make it, it should be easy. We need to make it as easy to subscribe to a podcast on iTunes as it is on Android. And if we can fix that piece, it's going to be better for the whole community. But everyone has an agenda. They have their own way of doing things. They have their own ideas. You know, feature bloat, all that stuff. We even have to watch feature bloat in our plugin, you know, because it can get kind of confusing. I wanted an additional tab on the web, on the settings page to kind of segregate some of this stuff. And we tried it and it just, it spread things out too far. And we said, no, bring it back. So it's not easy when you're trying to, you know, make it easier for the podcasters that are non-technical. It's for us technical folks, it's you know, this is like easy peasy, but for the non-technical folks, it can be very intimidating. So that's, you know, one reason why in the plugin still today, we have the simple mode. And I think that is, you know, the critical thing. If you're brand new and if you're, and if you're just migrating to our plugin for the first time to use some of these features, you know, right on the page, there's an ability to go to switch to simplified default mode. And, the, you know, the simplified mode basically is three pages, and it basically, or actually three sections, and it lets you get set up fast and really have everything you need to get up and get running. I will continue to be a advocate of controlling your own feed. I have been telling people for a long time, FeedBurner is not needed for podcasting. I run probably one of the most complex podcasting sites. You know, I really put our plugin to the test, and many of the changes we make is derived from some of the things I do, running multi-site, running multiple shows, multiple channels, some stuff in categories, you know, feeding into different devices. You know, we test against our own stuff, and it works. And it is able to be maintained. And at the same time, I've never had an issue with pages. I mean, having complaints about feeds loading. Even when I, you know, even I had stuff all over the place. You know, I've got Geekness Central on a dedicated server, but I've got stuff on some shared hosting accounts because I want to be able to test on those platforms as well to make sure that, you know, what I'm talking about is the real deal. You know, and there's some, if people are running into feed loading problems, maybe the feed's too big and maybe you need to use Feed Maximizer in PowerPress. If it's going to load slow on ours, it's going to load slow on other people's because the feed is just too big. So remember, 249 is the number. No, more than 249 episodes, iTunes ignores it. So don't have your feed setting set to 500. It's a exercise in futility for the most part. But if you like what you see, we hope that you'll migrate to us and use Blueberry Hosting Platform. It takes care of keeping us in business, and that's an important thing these days with everything going on in the space. I do want to switch topics and talk just a little bit about some stuff going on at the IAB, Interactive Advertising Bureau. We had our meeting, I think, a week and a half ago or so. I didn't talk too much about it in the last show. But we were really getting into the weeds and making, basically there's about 30 companies involved. And can you imagine having 30 people on a conference call and 30 people editing a single document? And we've been basically putting our objections where they need to be placed. And also at the same time, putting in language that was missing. I'm not allowed to share the document in its entirety per se with the community, But I will say this, not only Raw Voice, which is the company, parent company behind Blueberry, the folks from PodTrack, the folks from LiveSyn are involved in the discussions with the Interactive Advertising Bureau. So you really have three pure podcasting companies that are in the discussions. And it's civil. We did provide the IAB a collective data of survey information from all of the surveys that the podcasters have run on our system. We never showed, of course, an individual podcaster's data. It was all consolidated information. And there were some very interesting takeaways from that that I'll be talking about soon as in an article I'm going to be writing. But from category to category, there are different listening habits of listeners. And we were amazed at the, I guess for a better word, the shift, depending on what type of a community is and how they're listening, where they're listening, when, age groups, and all this stuff. So there is not a one-size-fits-all podcast listener. I will tell you that very dramatically. But there is kind of a trend from a category by category standpoint. And what we use is the iTunes categories. We looked at tech, we looked at education, we looked at, you know, at basically the top level stuff down. And I was, you know, actually I called Angela. I said, are these right? I said, what it was, you know, we went over sample sizes to make sure we had enough samples. And we took data that was only a year, you know, up to a year old. We didn't take any, you know, we had millions of survey responses that were over a year old. So if you haven't run an audience survey recently, please run one. If you're running SurveyMonkey, use ours, use something from someone else. It's good to do one every year. But we all submitted this data to IAB. They're going to be integrating that with other survey data from other providers and then some case studies. But what the battle lines have been drawn is there is certain parties in the podcasting space that are not happy with certain methodology of counting. And I'm going to be very frank, and I've said this many times, and I'll say this as an individual. I've always said I don't care what the number is, as long as I know what the number is. We're dealing with a digital media space, digital. This requires a digital download, whether it be a digital stream. In other words, when someone has clicked to play and they progressively listen to a show, or if they have pre-downloaded it and listened to it on their iPad, that file was delivered digitally. And there is an audit trail of that transaction. And with that transaction is a unique IP number. And we can see on that unique IP, if that unique IP has come back and hit that same specific, let's say, episode multiple times, are millions, tens of millions, actually close to hundreds of millions of impressions that we measure every month. We know across the board, when I hit play on an episode from my computer here at home or on my tablet, that it is very, very, very rare that they come back twice. And even more rare when they come back three times. So the analytics from a pure just trying to get a base number is not complicated at all. The problem arises when you have companies that are saying, well, he pressed play, he stopped. He pressed play again, he stopped. And some of us do that, get in and get out of our cars. But technically, he's still listening to the same episode. We can't count that as four, five, or six. We count that as one. And as one listen. It's one listen of an episode. And there's a little bit of discussion going on that it's basically over some of this technology. And while we're not going to be defining a measurement standard in the first document, there are going to be some terms that will probably come out that all of us are very familiar with. But I will just say it's not doing the podcasting community any good to have any type of inflated numbers. It's not at all good. And I've been a proponent of accuracy and measurement for a long, long time. I can speak for my company that we're very dedicated to that. And I know that at least two of our competitors are as well. And matter of fact, some of our competitors actually use our data in their reporting, which is kind of interesting. They don't have their own measurement system. So they use the, I'm going to call it the big threes, data to actually do reporting, which it's kind of funny, but it's okay because at least the data is that's being reported is correct. I do have challenges though in some metric systems of some companies, and I've been very, very vocal about that because it is, again, a digital play. This is not rocket science. The filtering is pretty complex to be able to determine. Okay, was that a bot or was that a human or was that a bot that made look like a human, which sometimes happens. But there's, you know, with enough data, you can really see the trends and you can see where something is spiked that should not have. Matter of fact, in January, we have to make a little bit of a logarithm change because we've seen a change in a couple of systems that are skewing a little bit. So we're, you know, there's going to be a little bit of adjustment in January. And it's just one of those things that we have to stay on top. And it's not big, but it's something that we have to stay on top of actively week by week, sometimes day by day. And the folks that aren't doing that aren't. And they're basically, you know, trying to tell a story, which I cringe at. That involves surveys and all kinds of interesting things to come up with a data metric. I want the space to succeed, but I want it to do it with integrity, and I want the space to move forward. And so that when a media buyer calls Todd and wants to buy an advertising campaign, and when an advertiser calls Rob and wants to do an advertising campaign, and when you know, the variety, and I'm talking about Rob Walsh, when they call Rob to Walsh to make a campaign, that we're all essentially, the data is very close and the terminology is the same. So this is some of the things that are going to be, you know, worked out in this initial document, maybe not the actual standards themselves, but at least the terminology. And there's a happy medium, but it, the happy medium at the expense of over-reporting is not in my playbook and never will be. And, you know, does it slow down the objectives of some companies? Maybe. But we've been in the space 10 years and I'm not willing to sacrifice what we have built and the trust that we have gained in the podcasting community by, you know, changing gears. And I probably said too much at this point, but I'm just going to say this. We are very, very, proud of what we've put together from a measurement standpoint, and we stand behind it with the stand behind those numbers with the reputation of the company and, certified data for big media companies every month. Matter of fact, some of the biggest media companies, we don't even talk about some of our big media partners because we're not allowed to. Use our metrics to report their advertising totals to media buyers to send them a bill. And if that's not just satisfaction for us, I think nothing will be. But I'm more worried overall about the individual podcaster that's out there trying to build an audience and understand what they're doing and where their audience is and how they should focus to make it grow. And I hope in 2015, we're going to bring you some new data points that we've been giving some of our bigger customers. I'm really excited about being able to do that. And once people are able to see what we're able to do and a much deeper dive, I think it's going to change the production, for a better word, the way you produce your show. It's going to help you produce your show in a better way. But anyway, that's it. I'm going to get out of here. Todd@newmediashow.com. Rob's not here, but if you want to send him a comment too, Rob@newmediashow. Oh, that was stupid. I've been sitting here talking and didn't have the screen switched over. Todd@newmediashow.com. Rob@newmediashow.com. That was That was insane. That's what a guest is when he's, I mean, a host is when he's just looking at the camera and not looking at the screen. You guys are listening. You don't care, right? Oh, man. That's why I need someone here to actually switch this thing for me. One-man wrecking crew. But Todd at newmediashow.com, Rob at newmediashow.com. And if you have a suggestion for a guest, please let us know. Now, with the holidays upon us, and Merry Christmas to everyone, and of course, when everyone have a prosperous New Year, I think we are going to have a show on the 27th. But after that, definitely the 3rd and the 10th, I'm out. I'm to Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, and we will not have a show definitely on the 3rd or the 10th. Maybe Rob will do something solo. I don't know. But at this point, I do believe we're still having one on the 27th. But everyone have a Merry Christmas. Hope Santa Claus is good to y'all. It's been fun bringing a new media show solo. And I get to, I guess for a better word, get on the podium a little bit here. But I want to thank all of you for being on today. And everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.